almost, this might be the fourth or fifth episode, and today we look at transitioning the kingdom, and we've been trying to look at the journey of David and all through his childhood, all through his following up with Saul, and then eventually him becoming king, and then him making a mistake, he runs into exile, and last week we were able to see how the king comes back, and he did not exact revenge, he was just, he divided between Ziba and Mephibosheth, you know, although there was a man called Sheba, the Benjamite, who attempted to, you know, to commit a treason, but then eventually is killed by the people of Abel. And then we see Joab committing cold blood murder of Amasa out of jealousy. Amasa, David had promised him to be the head of the armies, and Joab kills him. And then we saw the issue of the famine in the land for 3 years, and where David prayed, and God told him that it was a legal issue, and that the Saul had killed the Gibeonites. And we spoke about the covenants and how covenants can follow our people years later, and we have to be careful about such things. And we also were able to see David, a man of worship, who is called the sweet psalmist of Israel. He was also blessed by mighty men. And this is a blessing that we see in his life, that men who are depressed, men who are distressed, men who are in debt, and they came in and joined in with him, and they were able to become a mighty army. And then we saw also how they killed giants. David got tired in war. And when he was going to be killed by one of the giants, then one of the soldiers stepped in and saved him. And then they told him, you're the lamp of Israel, you cannot go on to fight for us. And then eventually we were able to see how David sinned again by numbering the fighting men. But then he chose to fall into the hands of God. So we can really see a man who's... The Bible does not hide anything about David. You know, it tells us of his strength. Tells us of where he did right, where he went wrong, where he messed up, and even how he stood up. And that's why when the Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times, but each time he gets up. I'm just seeing the number of times that David fell. I didn't count them, but maybe there were 7. But maybe that out of his own experience, he could say that a righteous man falls 7 times, but each time he gets up. And that is something that he learned. He learned that the righteousness does not come from him. It is an imputed righteousness, because the Bible says he discovered the blessedness of the one to whom God does not count sin. So today we're going to look at how now David is already old, and now it's time to transition the kingdom, how he puts his government in order, and then we'll be able to come to a conclusion with Solomon taking the throne. And of course, there's always drama, there's always a Game of Thrones, and you know, everyone trying to become the next king, but they don't understand that kingship comes from the anointing. It does not come from man, but it comes from God. So let's start. One of the first things that we look at is David organized his government officials, and this I'm able to pick some things from First Chronicles, where he was able to organize the Levites, and he had done a census, and there were about 38,000 Levites, and those were those that were 30 and above. But then we see later on that he lowers the age of the Levites from to 20, and these were to provide various functions in the temple, because now the temple will no longer be, you know, being carried around, but then now it will be on ground. So the Levites were divided according to the sons of Levi, Gershom, Kohath, and Merari. And then you can see 24,000 overseeing construction work, 6,000 as officers and judges, 4,000 were gatekeepers, and this they were manning the gates. And then there were also musicians, 4,000 were musicians, and this would rotate, and they will do this work from time to time. David also organized the priests, and then there are those who are priestly courses, and then there were chief priests. So he was able to organize the Levites, you organize the priests, you organize the musicians. We can see these are the guys who also write the book of Psalms along with him, Asaph, Jeduthun, or Ethan, and Heman, and all these are the musicians that he organized. And then he also had a proper government system. He had also the military. His army was led by Joab, but then Benaiah became his you know, his personal bodyguard, the head of David's guard, who later on becomes the head of Solomon's army, and is one of the mighty men. And there were 12 divisions of 24,000 men, with each division serving for 1 month a year. And then there were also other officials. There was the recorder, who was Jehoshaphat. Then there was a scribe, Shiva, who was responsible for writing and correspondence. Then there was Adoniram, the commander of false labor, and counselors. Remember, there was Ahithophel and Hushai. Now, and then there were also local administrators. These were appointed to serve and judge the people and ensure that justice was administered well. So David first organizes his government once he's back. Then now he's already old. And then now let's read from 1 Kings chapter 1. Now, King David was old. 1 Kings 1:1. King David was old, advanced in years, and they put covers on him, but he could not get warm. Therefore, his servant said to him, "Let a young woman, a virgin, be sought for our lord the king, and let her stand before the king, and let her care for him, and let her lie in your bosom, that our lord the king may be warm." So they sought for a lovely young woman throughout all the territory of Israel, and found Abishag the Shunammite, and brought her to the king. The young woman was very lovely, and she cared for the king and served him. But the king did not know her. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, "I will be king." And he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not rebuked him at any time by saying, "Why have you done so?" He was also very good looking. His mother had borne him after Absalom. Right? Bells ring again. Then he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest, and they followed and helped Adonijah. But Zadok the priest, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, Nathan the prophet, Shimei, Rei, and the mighty men who belonged to David were not with Adonijah. And Adonijah sacrificed sheep and oxen and fattened cattle by the stone of Zaheleth, which is by Enrogel. He also invited all his brothers, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants, but he did not invite Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the mighty man, or Solomon his brother. So we can see that David is old, and one of the things that someone used to say, that David must have learned from his mistake the previous time. You know that, but we can see clearly the scripture that he will not, commit any issues again. He will not mess himself again. But one of the things that we can clearly see, that David was quite old, to the point that even when the young woman was brought to him, he did not know her. That means he was quite old, and he could not keep warm by blankets. And so in a way, she was like his concubine, and it's very important that we understand that. And then now we are seeing this other man, who is Adonijah, and Adonijah is the brother of Absalom. Now, when he says the son of Haggith, they're referring to the mother is Haggith, because David had a number of wives. He had Haggith, he had Michal, so he had married Haggith in Hebron. And it's not that, her name just means like festival. There's nothing else that is told about her, but it seems she was a very prominent woman for her to be mentioned, the son of Haggith. And one of the things is that they used to at times make military marriages, or marriages that are important for the kingdom, you know, for development of the kingdom. Now, Adonijah does the same thing that his brother had done. And you can see, you can ask yourself, is this something that is running in the family or not? He wants to be king, and he also gets for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men. So I'm sure in his mind he's saying, my brother did this, he did not succeed, or he almost succeeded. I can also do it. Now, David is old. I'm older than Solomon. I can take the throne. And he does the same. Then he takes the army commander, like what people do during coups. They take the armies on their side. He took Abiathar the priest, and here Abiathar messed up because he was a close confidant of David, but yet he missed out. Because remember, Abiathar is the one who was sent to spy on Absalom by David. But now he messed up. He ended up on the wrong side. And this is something common that happens whenever people are doing power transitions. Then, when this had, Nathan went and speaks to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, says, "Have you not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, has become king? And David, our Lord, does not know it. Come, please, let me now give you advice that you may save your own life and the life of your son Solomon. Go immediately to King David and say to him, 'Did you not, my lord, swear to your maidservant, saying, assuredly, your son Solomon shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne. Why then has Adonijah become king? Then, while you are still talking there with the king, I will also come in after you and confirm your words.' So Bathsheba went into the chamber of the king. Now the king was very old, and Abishag the Shunammite was serving the king. And Bathsheba bowed and did homage to the king. Then the king said, 'What is your wish?' Then she said to him, 'My lord, you swore to by the Lord your God to your maidservant, saying, assuredly, Solomon your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne. So now look, Adonijah has become king, and now, my lord, the king, you do not know about it. He has sacrificed oxen and fattened cattle and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the sons of the king, Abiathar the priest, and Joab the commander of the army, but Solomon your servant he has not invited. And as for you, my lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are on you, so that you should tell them who will sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise it will happen, when my lord rests with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon will be counted as offenders." This is a mother interceding for her son, because she also knows whenever these people come to power, she and Solomon will be killed. Then, while she was just talking, Nathan the prophet also comes, and she told the king, saying, "Here is Nathan the prophet." And when he came in before the king, he bowed down before the king with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, "My lord, O king, have you said Adonijah shall reign after me and shall sit on my throne? For he has gone down today and has sacrificed oxen and fattened cattle and sheep in abundance, and he has invited all the king's sons and the commanders of the army and Abiathar the priest. And look, they are eating and drinking before him, and they say, 'Long live King Adonijah.' But he has not invited me, your servant, nor Zadok the priest, nor the Lord the king, nor Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, nor your servant Solomon. Has this thing been done by my lord the king, and you have not told your servant who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him?" Then David answered and said, "Call Bathsheba to me." So she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king took an oath and said, "As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from every distress, just as I swore to you by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly, Solomon your son shall be king after me, and shall sit on my throne in my place, so I certainly will do this day." Then Bathsheba bowed her face to the king, to the earth, and paid homage to the king, and said, "Let my lord King David live forever." So David said, "Call for me Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada." This is his personal bodyguard. And they came before the king. The king said to them, "Take with you the servants of your lord, and have Solomon my son ride on my own mule," that is his own car, "and take him down to Gihon. Then let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him king over Israel, and blow the horn and say, 'Long live King Solomon.' Then you shall come up after him, and he shall come and sit on my throne, and he shall be king in my place, for I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and Judah." Benaiah the son of Jehoiada answered the king and said, "Amen. May the Lord God, my lord the king, say so too. And as the Lord has been with my lord the king, even so may he be with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my lord King David." So Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, the Cherethites, the Pelethites, went down and had Solomon ride on King David's mule, and took him to Gihon. Then the Zadok took a horn of oil from the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. And they blew the horn, and all the people said, "Long live King Solomon." And all the people went up after him, and the people played their flutes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth seemed to split with their sound. Now Adonijah, all the guests who were with him, heard it as they finished eating. So when Joab heard the sound of the horn, he said, "Why is the city in such a noisy uproar?" While he was still speaking, there came Jonathan, the son of Abiathar the priest. And Adonijah said to him, "Come in, for you are a prominent man. Bring good news." Then Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, "No, our lord, King David has made Solomon king. The king has sent with him Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, the Cheretites, the Peletites, and they have made him ride on the king's mule. So Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him the king at Gihon, and they have gone up from there rejoicing. So the city is in uproar. This is the noise that you have heard. Also, Solomon sits on the throne of the kingdom, and moreover, the king's servants have gone to bless our Lord King David, saying, 'May God make the name of Solomon better than your name, and may he make his throne greater than your throne.' Then the king himself bowed himself on the bed, and also the king said, 'Blessed be the God of Israel, who has given one to sit on the throne this day while my eyes see it.' So all the guests who were Adonijah were afraid and arose, and each one went his way." So all the, okay, I've repeated that. "Now Adonijah was afraid of Solomon. He arose and went and took hold of the horns of the altar. And it was told Solomon, saying, 'Indeed, Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon. For look, he has taken hold of the horns of the altar, saying, Let King Solomon swear to me today that he will not put his servant to death with the sword.' Then Solomon said, 'If he proves himself a worthy man, not one hair of his head shall fall to the earth. But if wickedness is found in him, he shall die.' So King Solomon sent him to bring him down to the from the altar, and he came down and fell down before his feet. And King Solomon said to him, 'God, go to your house.'" So let's take a pause there. You can see all the drama that is happening. Two sides. Adonijah does like his brother Absalom, looks for 50 horses, rides, declares himself king, takes some people, Abiathar, and they go, and Joab, the army commander, they go and make themselves king. But the intervention of Bathsheba was very timely, and Nathan the prophet, they speak with the king, and they are able to save the situation. And David indeed fulfills his promise. He had promised Bathsheba by oath that Solomon will be king after him. And also, this was also from the Lord, because you see, ideally in inheritance, you would expect that it's the firstborn son that will get it. But you see, David, he himself was not king because he was firstborn. He was the lastborn. And you can see also Solomon, in a way, is also a very young, one of the young sons. But you see, God loved Solomon, and God had chosen Solomon. Remember, he had told him that your son after you, Solomon, he will be a man of rest, and he shall be the one who shall build the temple. So you can see this is happening. Adonijah was throwing a party for people. But when it became clear that it is not him, he has to run to the altar. He holds himself, and you can see King Solomon exercising wisdom and then justice, and allowing him to live, and telling him, "Go to your own house. If sin is found in you, you will die. But if you are a worthy man, you will be fine." And that is what happens until then. So let me take a pause there and hear from you. What comes to your mind so far? What is happening? And yeah, what runs to your mind at this point? Welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Soma. I see Game of Thrones today.
Yes.
I see Game of Thrones. I see strategy, because you see, and also I think I see strategy. I see allegiances, where people are aligned to the most powerful. Like, you see, King David didn't know what was happening, so he was alerted. So there were people who were very much close to him, aligned to him. Yeah. So they alerted him to say, "Do you know this is what is happening?" And he was able to take action. So I think it's also, for me, it brings to mind the fact that even as we are living, you know, as even as we are leaders, yeah, we need to have trusted lieutenants that are around us, people who share intelligence with us. It's not like everything that you you know, as a leader, you will be able to know everything that is going on around you.
Yeah.
But when you surround yourself with the right people, it will also save you in times of calamity.
Yeah.
So, you know, I see that. Then at the same time, when I look at Adonijah, you know, and the friends and the people that were celebrating with him, I see the fact that they are fake and temporary friends, people who surround you because of the success or because of the glory that you're having in that particular time. But when there is, immediately when there is trouble, they deserted him, so he was left alone. So I see from that kind of thing that sometimes we need to be very careful that not everyone who is around us or who is celebrating with us is going to be there, you know, for us and supporting us. So I think these are the key things that I'm just getting from this Game of Thrones that we are seeing there. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, it's good to have close allies who can tell you what is happening and stand by you. Uh-huh. Anyone else with a reflection? And strategy. Okay, we can carry on. Let's carry on so that we can catch up. So now the second part of this is where we see how David now makes preparations for the temple. So 1 Chronicles, we'll jump to 1 Chronicles 22, verse 1, the Bible says, "Then David said, 'This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of burnt offerings for Israel.' So David commanded to gather the aliens who were in the land of Israel, and he appointed masons to cut hewn stones to build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails of the doors of the gates and for the joints, and bronze in abundance beyond measure, and cedar trees in abundance, for the Sidonians and those from Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. Now David said, 'Solomon, my son, is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, famous, and glorious throughout all the countries. I will now make preparations for it.' So David made abundant preparations before his death. Then he called his son Solomon and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, 'My son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house to the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, "You have shed much blood and have made great wars. You shall not build a house for my name, because you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to you, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies all around. His name shall be Solomon, for I will give him peace and quietness to Israel in his days. And he shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son. And I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, may the Lord be with you, and may you prosper and build the house of the Lord your God, as he has said to you. Only may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding, and give you charge concerning Israel, that you may keep the law of the Lord your God, and then you will prosper if you take care to fulfill the statutes and judgments with which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Indeed, I have taken much trouble to prepare for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000,000 talents of silver, bronze and iron beyond measure, for it is so abundant. I have prepared timber and stone, and you may add to them. Moreover, there are workmen with you in abundance, woodmen, stone cutters, and all types of skillful man for every kind of work, of gold and silver, and bronze and iron, there is no limit. Arise and begin working, and the Lord be with you.' David also commanded all the leaders of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, 'Is not the Lord your God with you, and has he not given you rest on every side? For he has given the inhabitants of the land into my hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart and your soul and seek the Lord your God. Therefore arise and build the sanctuary of the Lord, to bring the Ark of the Covenant and the holy articles of God into the house that is to be built for the name of the Lord.' Then David made extensive plans, 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. As for you, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart, the willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Then David gave his son Solomon, the plans for the vestibule, its houses, its treasuries, its upper chambers, its inner chambers, and the place of the mercy seat, and the plans for all that he had by the Spirit, of the courts of the house of the Lord, of all the chambers all around, of the treasuries of the house of God, of the treasuries of the dedicated things, also for the division of the priests and the Levites, for the works of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the articles of service in the house of the Lord. He gave by gold, weight for things of gold, for articles used in every kind of service, also silver for all articles, silver by weight for all articles used in every kind of service. And there I jumped some parts where it's just gold and silver for everything. Then the verse 19 says, all this David said, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me all the works of these plans. And David said to his son Solomon, be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished the work for the service of the Lord. And then furthermore, King David said to the assembly, my son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great, because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now for the house of my God are prepared, he says, the gold for things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, bronze for things of bronze, iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistening stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones, and marble slabs in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver. 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the house. The gold for things of gold, silver for things of silver, and all kinds of work and to be done by the hands of craftsmen. Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? Then the leaders of the fathers' houses, leaders of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the officers over the king's work, offered willingly. They gave for the work of the house of God 5,000 talents, 10,000 darics of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, 100,000 talents of iron, and whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord, into the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, but cause with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord, and the king David also rejoiced. Such a blessing. Then David blessed the Lord before all the people, and David said, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days are a shadow and without hope. O Lord, our God, of all this abundance we prepare to build your house, for your holy name is from your hand. And I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now with joy I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly, O God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers. Keep this forever in the intent of the thoughts of the heart of your people, to fix their heart toward you. and give my son Solomon a loyal heart to keep your commandments and your testimonies and your statutes, to do all these things and to build the temple for which I have made provision. Wow. It's amazing to see what David does. And, you know, one of the things that strikes me is the extent of giving or the extent of preparations that David makes. For sure, God told him, you're not going to build the temple. Your son is going to do it. But you can see the heart of David. In fact, he says, I have set my affection, and that is why I have prepared all this. He prepared both as a government, as a king, but then also he prepares as himself. And he says, out of my own personal treasury, I will do this. I will give this. And I'm giving this all kinds of gold, silver, you know, precious stones, glistening stones, gold of Ophir. All this he gives. And then beyond that, what strikes me also is that he receives the plans of the temple by the Spirit of God. That means that God actually gives him that blueprint for the entire temple by the Spirit. That means he goes into the Spirit and is able to see that. And God reveals to him by vision. And you can see this is one of the prophetic aspects of David, because David was very prophetic. Yes, he's a king, yet he's a prophet, yet he's a leader, yet he's a fighting man, yet he's a musician. I think there's no one who's such multidimensional as David. And you can even see this, how he can even receive plans, blueprints by God. And that, this is just to tell you that God is able to give you blueprints, is able to give you plans, is able to give you things that you maybe you saw them a long time ago, but when you build it, then you'll realize, oh, this is what I did. And I'm sure Ralph is smiling somewhere because he will say something to this. But you can see what God does by the Spirit. For me, it's amazing how his heart of generosity also moves the people to give, and the people are willing. And you know, that's what he speaks of, the anointing, that thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. There's a willingness that God gave David, that to the people, that they are so willing that they are able to give and give and give. And one of the greatest things I always say that you can ever do is to build the church of God, both spiritually and also financially. It's one of the things that moves the heart of God. Why? Because you are jealous for the house of God. I mean, when you come and find the house of God in disorder and it pains you, then it's something, it's telling you that you are jealous for your father. The reason why David was fighting all these wars is because he was zealous for the Israelites, for the land, for all the land that the Israelites were promised by God. He fought for them. He was zealous for the land. And that's why when he's able to make all these preparations, and you can see how our father, the heart of our father, he's saying, my son is young and inexperienced. Let me prepare this, because he's going to make a house. This is not just a house for man. It is a house for God. Let me pause there. What comes to your mind? What comes to your heart? What speaks to you until this point? Welcome, anyone? Anyone with a reflection? Now we are good. Okay, if we are good, we can go on. Now, after David, okay, good. Thank you for the feedback. So then David is anointed a second time. The Bible says, not say David, Solomon. Then David said to the assembly, now bless the Lord your God. And so all the assembly blessed the Lord, the God of their fathers, and they bowed. And they made sacrifices and offered burnt offerings to the Lord, 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, 1,000 lambs, with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance. And they ate and drank before the Lord with great gladness on the day. And they made Solomon, the son of David, king the second time, and anointed him before the Lord to be the leader, and Zadok to be priest. And Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David his father, and prospered. And all Israel obeyed him, and all the leaders and the mighty men, and also the sons of King David submitted themselves to King Solomon. So the Lord exalted Solomon exceedingly in the sight of all Israel and bestowed on him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel. As David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel, and the period that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years he reigned in Hebron, and 33 years he reigned in Jerusalem. So he died in a good old age, full of days and riches and honor, and Solomon his son reigned in his place. Now the acts of King David, first and last, indeed are they not written in the book of Samuel the seer, in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the book of Gad the seer, with all his reign and his might, and the events that happened to him, to Israel, and to all the kingdoms of the land. Now, there is another part that we need to look at, David's final instructions to Solomon. Now, David, remember, has handed over the kingdom, but now he knows that his time is about to die. But you remember, David also had unfinished business. There were people who had messed up, you know. And he did not deal judgment with them, but he also finds a way to instruct Solomon on what to do. 1 Kings chapter 2, the Bible says, "Now the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man, or be a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do, and wherever you turn, that the Lord may fulfill his word which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way and walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, and he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. Moreover," now he starts to warn him about Joab. "Moreover, you also know what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, and what he did to the two commanders of the army of Israel, to Abner, the son of Ner, and to Amasa, the son of Jethe, who he killed." Remember, he shed blood. He just stabbed them in their stomach. "And he shed the blood of war in peacetime, and put the blood of war on his belt that was around his waist, and on his sandals that were on his feet. Therefore, do according to your wisdom, and do not let his gray hair go down to the grave in peace." So you can see David warns Solomon about Joab and tells him he needs to ensure that Joab also pays a price, and he does not let his gray hair does not go down to the grave in peace. "But show kindness to the sons of Barzillai, the Gileadite." Remember that 8-year-old man who had come to help David when he ran away from Absalom. And he says, "Let them be among those who eat at your table, for they came to me when I fled from Absalom, your brother. And see, you have with you Shimei." Remember Shimei, the one who insulted David, the son of Gera, "a Benjamite from Bahurim, who cast me with a malicious curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me at the Jordan, and I swore to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put you to death with the sword. Now therefore, do not hold him guiltless, for you are a wise man, and you know what you ought to do with him. But bring down his gray hair to the ground, down to the grave with blood." So David rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. The period that David reigned over Israel was 40 and also 33. And then Solomon sat on his father's David, the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. So we can see David does not leave Solomon in doubt. He tells them, "These guys, yes, I swore to them that I will not do anything to them, but they did wrong. You need to deal with them. You need to deal with Joab. You need to deal with Shimei, but also show kindness to the sons of Barzillai." Now, remember, there was this other man called Adonijah, the one who Solomon showed him mercy and told him, "Okay, go to your home. If you are found a worthy man, you will live. But if sin is found in you, you shall die." Now, Adonijah, he has already been shown mercy. He wanted to be king, but Solomon eventually took it. But that spirit of rebellion does not end there. And what does he ask? Now, Adonijah, the son of Haggith, comes to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, and says, and so she said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably." "Moreover," he said, "I have something to say to you." And she said, "Say it." Then he said, "You know that the kingdom was mine, and all Israel had set their expectations on me, that I should reign. However, the kingdom has been turned over and has become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord. Now I ask one petition of you. Do not deny me. And she said to him, say it. Then he said, please speak to King Solomon, for he will not refuse you, that he may give you Abishag the Shunammite as wife. So Bathsheba said, very well, I will speak for you to the king. And Bathsheba therefore went to King Solomon to speak to him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed down to her and said, sat down on his throne and had a throne set for the king's mother. So she sat at his right hand. Then she said, I desire one small petition of you. Do not refuse me. And the king said to her, ask it, my mother, for I will not refuse you. So she said, let Abishag the Shunammite be given to Adonijah, your brother, as wife. Hey, hey. Then King Solomon answered and said to his mother, now, why do you ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also, for he is my older brother for him, and for Abiathar the priest, and for Joab the son of Zeruiah. Then the King Solomon swore by the Lord, saying, may the God do so me more also if Adonijah has not spoken this word against his own life. Now therefore, as the Lord lives, who has confirmed me and set me on the throne of David, and who established a house for me as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death today. So King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaiah Jehoiada, and he struck him, and he died. Now Abiathar, to Abiathar the king, the priest said, go to Anathoth, to your own fields, for you are deserving of death, but I will not put you to death at this time, because you carried the ark of the Lord God before my father David, and because you were afflicted every time my father was afflicted. So Solomon removed Abiathar from bringing the priest of the Lord, that he might fulfill the word of the Lord which he spoke concerning the house of Eli at Shiloh. So Abiathar was a descendant of Eli, or even of the line of Eli. But remember, there was judgment on the house of Eli, that if anyone shall be in their line, they will either die early, or they will have, you know, leprosy. You can see this judgment is following him, Abiathar, and he has to leave. Now, Joab, when he had run away to Adonijah, so Joab fled to the tabernacle of the Lord, and he went and took hold of the horns of the altar. Then Joab was told, Joab has fled to the tabernacle, and there he is by the altar. Then Solomon sent Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, saying, go strike him down. So Benaiah went to the tabernacle and said, thus says the king, come out. And he said, no, but I will die here. And Benaiah brought back word to the king, saying, thus said Joab, that, and he answered me. The king said to me, do as he has said, and strike him down and bury him, that he may take away from me and my house. For he had shed innocent blood, and the Lord will return his blood on his head, because he struck down two men more righteous and better than he, and he killed them with a sword, Abner the son of Ner, the commander of the army of Israel, and Amasa the son of Jether, and of the army, and he thought my father David did not know it, and they, their blood shall be therefore return upon the head of Joab. And this is what he does. So eventually, Joab is also killed. And then the last part that we see also is Shimei is also killed. And what happens with Shimei is that, So the king called and sent for Shimei and told him, you build your house for yourself in Jerusalem and live in Jerusalem. Do not go anywhere. It shall be the day you go out and cross the brook Kidron that you shall surely die, and your blood shall be on your own head. So Shimei said, ah, this is good, my lord. And he said, I will do. So Shimei stays in Jerusalem many days, but then at the end of 3 years, his two slaves run away, and he decides to follow them. When he goes, he saddles the donkey, he follows them. When he brings them back, Solomon calls him, Shimei, I thought we agreed, you're not going anywhere. The guy said, for sure, I did. And what he did, he tells him, moreover, you know, as your heart acknowledges all the wickedness that you did to my father David, therefore the Lord will return your wickedness on your own head, and King Solomon shall be blessed. And so Solomon eventually also deals with Shimei. So you can see Solomon follows the instructions of his father. He's able to do it step by step. He's able to deal with all these people who are a challenge to his father. You know, his father had also gotten old, but there are people who had hurt him, and David is able to give instructions to Solomon, and Solomon is able to execute them. And of course, Solomon, knowing that he is young, he prays to God for wisdom. And one of the things that Solomon does is that he offers 1,000 burnt offerings, and in the night, God appears to him and asks him, "What shall I give you?" And Solomon says, "Give me wisdom and knowledge, a wise and understanding heart, that I may go out and come before these people." And God tells him, "Because this was in your heart, and you have not asked for riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked for long life, you know, but have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor as such as none of the kings that were before you, nor shall there be after you have like you." So, what do we see? David is able to transition the kingdom to his son. And one of the things that we've learned today is that transitions are not easy. And we can see how Adonijah carries on with the rebellion as his brother Absalom tries to be king. He takes quick action of Bathsheba, Nathan, to intervene. David shows such a great affection for God, you know, by making extensive plans for building of the temple. He prepares, the people give willingly. David also ensures that Solomon deals with the people that troubled him. Adonijah, you know, he embarrasses himself by, you can see the same thing that his brother did. Absalom slept with his father's 10 concubines. Now, Adonijah, the brother, is asking for his father's, you know, wife, Abishag, was also like David's wife, and is asking for it, you know, and you can ask yourself, what is wrong with his family? You know, what is wrong with this? And he's executed. You can see Abiathar is exiled, but also we can see a lineage issue because he's coming from the house of Eli. And then we can see Shimei, he falls into Solomon's trap. He was told not to leave Jerusalem. After 3 years, he ran after his slaves, and he comes back, he's killed. Joab, he runs away, he goes to the altar, he says he refuses, he will not come out. He's told, okay, kill him there. And then we can see the kingdom is finally established under Solomon, and he asks for wisdom. What a journey this has been, looking at this man, David, and how he starts from being a shepherd boy, struggles all the way to be king, all the way to do so many victories for the people of Israel. His failures, rising and falling, making mistakes here and there. But by the grace of God, he is able to transition the kingdom to his son and also to make such extensive preparations for building of the kingdom of God. This is really a man that we can learn from, and I'm going to stop here, and I pray to hear from you what comes to your heart. What are the things that bless you about this man that we have had today? I'll stop here. Over.
Hello.